Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for Word on Wednesdays as we look at God's Word to glean something from it, whereby we may grow in discipline, we may grow in grace, and we may be fashioned in the likeness of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. As always, we want to keep our pastor in prayer, especially while he's away, hoping that he's able to find rest, he's able to find serenity wherever he is. So continue to keep our pastor in prayer as he takes a respite, but we are grateful for this opportunity, knowing that God still has good works for us to do. So let us bow for a word of prayer, and we'll get into our lesson for today. Father God, we do thank you for your grace and mercy. Master, we love you. Master, we are grateful for this opportunity to unpack your holy writ. Lord, it's only through you that we have life, and that life we have it more abundantly. So speak through your word, Lord, that we may be able to adjust our lives accordingly so that your precepts may be glorified, Lord, and we as a church are edified in the process. We love you for this church. We love you for your word. Most importantly, we thank you for showering us and protecting us with your grace. Lord, we thank you. So help us to live accordingly as only you can. In Jesus' name, we ask these blessings. Amen. Amen. Again, we greet you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. And for our lesson today, the topic is going to be remain rooted. Remain rooted. And I want to unpack that a little bit. But this title of remaining rooted in Jesus comes under what we're going to cover for the next few weeks. And that's the overall theme of a prescription for the pandemic. Having a prescription for the pandemic. And the first lesson today is remain rooted. Remain rooted. In the scriptures, there's this concept, this discipline, this principle of remaining rooted. It implies that we as believers have been given something. We've been taught. We've been nurtured. God has poured into us his precepts. He's poured into us his instructions, and he's poured into us the principles whereby we are able to live a life that's abundant and to live in a way that makes him pleased. So God just didn't leave us without any type of lesson plans, without any type of instructions on how we ought to live. We have the Bible for that. The Bible is our basic instruction before we leave this earth. So in the Bible, we learn, for example, I learned how to be a man. I learned how to be a husband. I learned how to be a single person trying to develop relationships. It's through the scriptures that I learn about prayer. I learn about investments. I learn about stewardship. It's through God's word that I learn how to hold my peace. I learn how to deal with conflict resolution. It's through God's word that I learn how to be a better husband. I learn about what marriage is all about. It's through God's word that I learn where marriage came from. Through his word. And through all of these categories that I just listed, of course, I'm not touching on everything in life that life has to throw at us, but whether it's birth or death, God has given us a word. And then it's that word that he wants us to live by. It's God's word that helps us to live an abundant life. If we're going to live abundantly, if we're going to live and walk by faith and not by sight, We have to know what God's word says. And he's given us his parameters. God has given us his statutes. And he wants us to stay on his statutes. He wants us to be right in the center of his will. God wants us to not deviate from what he's given us. He doesn't want us to move too far to the left, too far to the right. God wants us to be centered in terms of our will, in terms of his way, in terms of the application of how he wants us to live. God wants us to be centered, not moved by every new philosophies, not moved by every fad that we encounter, not persuaded by people's lovely eloquence and ability to speak that tickle our ears. God doesn't want us to be moved by every subtle philosophy that comes up. And we see it all the time. Everybody has a word. Everybody has a word. Everybody has a suggestion. Everybody has an argument. Everybody has something to say. And God is saying, watch out. Watch out. Don't give heed to these so-called teachers and preachers who are teaching and preaching things that are contrary to his will. He wants us to be centered. He doesn't want us to be persuaded to the right. He doesn't want us to be persuaded to the left. God wants us to be rooted. Rooted. Right where he places us. Right where he wants us to grow. God wants us to be rooted. So remain rooted. That's my encouragement for this lesson. Some people may talk about you saying this is old-fashioned. But if it's biblical, it doesn't matter what they call it. For we realize, as the philosophers say, Christian philosophers say, that the truth has no expiration date. Amen. The truth has no expiration date. If God gives us a word, if God tells us this is right, if God tells us this is what he wants us to do, and if it's coming out of the nature of God, because God is eternal, then whatever comes out of him is eternal. And when God created this earth, he placed truth with it. Truth came out of the nature of God. So truth comes out of God's virtue. It comes out of God, his ontology. So truth has always been here since God created the earth, and it'll be here until he comes back. And it's eternal. It has no expiration date. So don't fret over what people call you. Don't fret over how people dislike you because you're standing on Christian principles. We got to be rooted. Even our leaders in the political system are easily persuaded and are willing to give advice which sometimes contradict our Christian responsibility. So we can't be moved just because somebody has a title, just because somebody has a status. We can't be moved. So when we look at our handout, and you find the handout online under the resources, you'll see that there is a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 21, and God is given this through Moses, where he says, thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Again, thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Deuteronomy 16 and 21. And in Deuteronomy, we see God preparing the children of Israel for their lives once they reach Canaan, once they reach the land flowing with milk and honey, and once
they start preparing themselves in this land, God has some statutes that he wants them to follow. So it's the same thing with us in modern day Christianity. Once we become Christians, there are some things that God wants us to not do. And there are some things God wants us to do. And one of those things is God wants us to remain rooted. Number one, strange modern philosophies will tell you that God doesn't exist. Well, we know better. We know that God exists. How do we know that God exists? Number one, we know from experience that God exists. We know how he's dealt with us. We know how he saved us, how God has put us on a righteous setting. I used to think this way, but now my mind has been transformed. We know about the before and after of our lives. Before I accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't know my purpose here on earth, but now I know. Before I accepted Jesus Christ, I couldn't control my temper. But now through the power of the Holy Ghost, he's able to control me. Before I met Jesus Christ, I didn't know how to be disciplined with my resources. But now I'm more disciplined. I'm a better steward because of knowing Jesus Christ. And because we know these things, it doesn't matter what the world is saying, I'm going to remain rooted in what I know about Jesus Christ. I'm not going to allow the world to dissuade me from standing on the promises of Christ Jesus. No, I'm not, because the world is lost. The world is confused. The world think they know where they're going, but they don't. We have to remain in the promises of the one who's able to handle both the body and the soul. Amen. I remain rooted. I am confident in what God is telling me. I'm confident in what God has told me, and I'm confident in what God has prophesied for me. So I remain rooted. So back to the children of Israel. God has given them a word. God has given them instructions. Do not set up false altars. Do not set up any altars that compete with your devotion for me. Amen. God is warning them. When you get into this land, do not set up an altar for foreign gods. And we already know, just as soon as God delivered them out of the Red Sea, as Moses went to consecrate with God, by the time he came back down, they had already set up a golden calf to worship, already breaking the covenant that God had established with them. And this idea of the golden calf originated in Egypt. Egypt, the Egyptians, worship a golden calf. And God has already warned them, don't develop any graven images. I am a jealous God. I don't want you to serve anybody else but me. Well, you may be saying to yourself, I don't worship Baal, or you all call it Baal. I don't worship any foreign gods. Well, let me challenge you. Maybe you worship the God of the credit card, right? The Visa God and the MasterCard God and the American Express God and whatever else. Macy's God, the Nordstrom's God, whatever else card that you may have. You may not call it a God, but look how much time you spend working to pay off Macy's on things that really doesn't matter when it comes to life issues, right? And some people struggle with the finance God. They don't know how to control themselves and how to discipline themselves from spending. All they know is spend. And God is saying there's a way to handle your finances. So God is talking to somebody right now. Remain rooted in the principles that God has established for us. What are those principles? When it comes to money, for an example, God says you need to pay your tithes. And I realize that some people come up with all these excuses about why you shouldn't pay tithes. Again, this is a reminder. Remain rooted in what God has said versus what other people are saying. So the thing about tithing, I don't have a lot of time to deal with tithing by itself as a lesson. If I did, I would love to explain the wonderment of tithing. So when people tell you not to tithe, we know that they're coming from another place, but God wants you to tithe. And tithing, one of the things these skeptics come up with is that tithing is no longer needed, because that's the Old Testament concept, that the law has been dealt with, the law has been put away. That's what some of these skeptics of tithing say. But one thing about tithing that we know about is tithing predates the Mosaic law, meaning that this principle of tithing came before the Mosaic law. Abraham gave a tithe to God in Genesis 18. Abraham paid tithes before the law. So it's important that we listen to God versus what other people are saying. Matter of fact, I'm beyond just the tenth. I believe that the New Testament teaches free will giving. And free will giving, just from biblical research, in my estimation, and you theologians can go look at it for yourself, but free will giving starts at 10%, but it doesn't stop at 10%. So I'm not even concerned about the 10%. I'm free on that. I'm willing to listen to what God has to say. We need to make sure we're in alignment with God. We need to make sure that we are rooted and not listening to the chatter of contemporary noise. There are people that go to church, but they don't know the word. But they're giving advice. They're on TikTok, and they're on Instagram, and they're on Facebook, and there are all these different social media platforms, LinkedIn, and all these other places, and they're giving advice. And some of them are good, but some of them have nothing to do with Jesus. So we need to make sure that if we're going to get God's best, if we're going to be in His will, if we're going to be in complete consecrated union with God, that we remain rooted. Hairstyles change, fashion change, clothing change, car change, but the principles of the Word of God does not change. The Word does not change. The method can change, but the message cannot. So we got to remain rooted in God. These idolatrous ways. Again, maybe you don't worship Baal, but what else do you worship? Some people worship their education. They believe that their education alone is going to keep them. Now, you can have all of the degrees in the world, but if you don't know Jesus, you don't have the wisdom that you need to be the best you that you could be. You can have all of the education in the world. Some people worship their status. Look where I am. Look at the type of friends that I'm around. Look at my job and the type of colleagues that I've surrounded myself with. But that's not it when we look at it. It's not just about your status. A lot of people have status, but they're miserable. A lot of people have big titles in front of their name, but they're not at peace. So it's not just about that. The world promotes living the way that you want to live. It's your thing. Do what you want to do, right? Be you. That's the new slogan now. Do you. Now, if doing you means that you doing you to the extent that God is not in control, God is not number one, then doing you is going to lead to destruction. But when you follow God's pattern When you remain in the will of God, not only does he take you to where you need to be, but he reveals to you the real you. And God has a way of bringing about peace where even if you just have $100 to your name, you got more peace in many cases than someone who's got millions of dollars in the bank who doesn't know Jesus. So we encourage you, stay rooted, remain rooted. Then we look at Jeremiah chapter 17. That's on your handout. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to read it from verses 1 through 8. Again, this whole ideology of not straying away from the teachings of God. I wish I could tell you how many churches have strayed away from the fundamental healthy teaching of God. For whatever reason, whether it's trying to make God's word so popular that people will come sit in the pews, or whether or not they are twisting God's word to bring in more money for the church treasury. I don't know what their motives are, but I know that when you stray away from the healthy teaching of God's word, it ultimately wind up hurting people. God wants us to remain doing what he asks us to do, and that's to teach his word in a healthy way. You can teach God's word in an unhealthy way, but God desires for us, all of us, to teach his word in a healthy way. So Jeremiah chapter 17, we find Judah has a sin problem at this point of Israel's history. They have a sin problem. Jeremiah notes that this sin problem has caused them to violate God's word. They have done things that they shouldn't have done being children of God. And this narrative hits home because it reminds me of modern day Christianity, where many people profess to know God, but have strayed away from the teachings of God. They know how to wear t-shirts that say I'm a Christian. They know how to engage in church colloquialism. They know church isms. They know how to be churchy. But in their primary lives, they haven't been living in accordance to God's word. And again, this Bible study is not designed to discourage anybody. I'm hoping that as God speaks to your heart right now, that you're being encouraged, and he wants to encourage you to do better. God wants you to do better. God wants you to live beyond what your own strength is able to do for you. So in Jeremiah 17, he writes, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond, it is graven upon the table of your heart and upon the horns of your altars." So just in the first verse, we see what's going on with Judah. They've committed sin. And what Jeremiah is saying through the power of God is saying that with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond, it is graven upon the table of your heart, meaning that this sin is entrenched in the heart of those that are sinning. These are God's people. But they've allowed themselves to get to a place where God's word is no longer primary. They still call themselves children of God, but yet their actions are not matching with what they're professing. Their actions are contrary to what their mouths are saying. I can hear Jesus say, these people worship me with their mouth, but their heart is far away from me. And so Jeremiah writes that the same stylus that they use to carve out words and images in wood and other hard substances, their entrenchment of sin is just like it. Can you imagine that? Where sin has such a hold on you that it's almost like, that's what he's saying. He's comparing the sin of Judah to the tool they use to carve deeply into wood, meaning that that's how deep the sin is in the life of Judah at this point. And I wish I could say things were different in 2021. But unfortunately, things are not that much different. Things are not that much different. Here we are, we have a Bible. Many people in the Bible days didn't have the law in their hands. We have God's law and God's grace, right, in our hands. So we can learn from what other people did. And we're still violating the laws of God because we have left this idea of remaining rooted in God's love, remaining rooted in God's theology, remaining rooted in godly obedience, and we are straying from the things that God is offering us. And God is speaking to someone this afternoon. He's saying, time out for churchiness. Time out for religiosity. He's saying, time out for playing games. Time out from the things that we're doing, and we need to get back to the things we know we ought to be doing. Then when you come back, remain rooted. Some people have other people in their lives, and you know those people are giving you advice from a worldly perspective when we should be getting advice from individuals who are going to give us godly wisdom. We're listening to the wrong people. We're chasing after the wrong people. We're chasing after the wrong things. And so Judah at this point had committed a grave sin. If we remember, Deuteronomy 16 and 21 reminds us that you should not build any altar towards any other God but Jehovah God. But they had, at this point in Israel's time in Judah, they had already transgressed to the point where the prophet is saying their sin is entrenched within them. They know the word. They know what God is saying, but they have willed to do other things contrary to God's will. And many times in the Old Testament, there's this imagery of Israel whoring after other gods, becoming the adulterer. Gomer and Hosea, the narrative, it deals with that story of Gomer going out and betraying her marriage vows. And this is an illustration of Israel, how Israel constantly would go and commit spiritual adultery, and then God would absolve them and they would come back. In this case, in Judah, Jeremiah chapter 17, same thing. They have gone astray. They have committed the transgression, violated the law, where it says, thou shalt not have no other God before me. They violated that. They violated the law in Deuteronomy 16, verse 21. And verse 2 of Jeremiah 17 tells us something. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. So again, Jeremiah is painting a picture of what's happened. because of Israel's sin. This sin is so egregious that it's bled into the lives of their children. Can you imagine that? The things that you know God doesn't approve of, your children have picked it up. Your children are now worshiping the same false idols that God has already condemned. It didn't work for you, and now your children are going to be in the same place that you were in because you refused to let go of the idolatry. So what are you saying? Let me paint a picture, if I can. If you don't have control, or you're not being a good steward of your finances, our children are looking. And the same way you handle money is the same way they're going to handle their money, for the most part. Because they're looking at us to be an example. And if we say we're Christians, holy on Sundays, but living a hellish life Sunday night through Saturday night, they're going to pick it up. They're going to say it's okay to play church. And so Judah's sin had bled into the lives of their children. And then we get a sneak peek into what they were doing. They had set up these false gods in on these high hills to worship them. They set it up. And that's what happens when we betray God. Part of us, the part of our inner being that belong to the authentic God, we start filling it with something else. It's amazing how some people refuse or are unwilling to come to church on a Sunday morning, but yet they get up early in the morning because they worship their cars. I see them. They're out there washing their cars at 6 a.m. And waxing their cars, but they are unwilling to come to church because it's too early. Whatever we do, something is going to fill it. God wants to fill that void inside of us. He wants to be primary. Now, if you don't fill it with God, you're going to fill it with something else. You might fill it with alcohol. You might fill it with sex. You might fill it with whatever intoxicant that you find out there. So God has put in us a place in our inner beings that only He can fill. And if we don't allow Him to take His rightful place, we're going to look for external things to try to fill it, and we'll never be happy. We'll never be satiated. We'll never be satisfied, because only God can fill that void. So I'm challenging you, remain rooted in worship. Remain rooted in holiness. Remain rooted in discretion. Remain rooted in those things that God has already pre-approved. We can stand on His word. It doesn't matter what others say. Let them talk about you. Let them say, oh, you're square. Let them say, oh, you're old-fashioned, or whatever else they're willing to say. But if it's true, if it's biblical, God wants you to stand on it, because truth has no expiration date. Truth has no expiration date. Milk expires, food expires, but a word of God will never expire. If it's true back in the day of Abraham, it's going to be true when Jesus comes back. So truth is truth. It has no expiration date. Verse 3. All my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And we're going to read this to verse 8. And thou, even thyself, should discontinue from thy heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. So this is God speaking to His people. They have kindled His anger because they have broken the marriage covenant, because they have set up other idols not God, but they set up idols to worship. When that worship ought to be given to the true God, they had given it to these false idols that can't even help them. And that's the reality. I find it interesting that at times, some of us get in relationships, and before the relationships, we were active in church. Before the relationships, we were worshiping and we were in ministry and we were doing the thing the Lord wants us to do. But now that we have this relationship, we're not going to anybody's church. You done left your church, and now this person has convinced you to not even come to church anymore. That person has become your God. If somebody can come into your life and then stop you from coming to church, stop you from getting involved in ministry, that person has become your God, Lord G. So God's anger was kindled against Judah because they became unfaithful to God's marriage covenant. So when we look at our handout, let's look at number one. They had altars dedicated to other gods, Baal. And number two, Judah's sin was engraved on their hearts. And then number three, their sins were generational. It started with the adults, but then it bled into their offsprings. They started doing the same thing. And God is not pleased with that. God is not happy when we follow other gods. So let's look at the next verse. And it says, "And thou, even thyself, should discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in my anger." And God basically prophesying that because of their disobedience, they will be overtaken, and their enemies will take control of them. Verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in the man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart depart from the Lord. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." And so these are the consequences of disobeying God. God allows us to be punished. God allows us to go through some things because we've lost our way. But I thank God for his benevolence, because even when I messed up, God was still there and allowing me to come back while I still had life. And I think about the prodigal, the relationship between the prodigal son and his father is meant to be analogous to Israel's relationship to God the Father. So the prodigal went away, and he got caught up in all of the pleasantries and in all the righteous living. And God, just like Israel, they had done the same thing. God was still there for them. And in this case, the father was still wanting that relationship with the son. And when the son came back, there was a celebration. It's the same thing. When we come back to God, regardless of your spiritual apostasy, if you're able to come back with a contrite heart, if you're able to come back to God with an open heart, if you tell God, "I'm sorry for wasting your time. Lord, I'm sorry for allowing myself to be deceived. Lord, I'm sorry for looking at you differently than the Bible says to look at you. Lord, I'm sorry for listening to the wrong people." If you come back to God the right way, he's a loving God. He's waiting for you. He'll embrace you. And then when you come back, we that are in Christ, we that are cultivating a strong relationship, we need to shout. We don't need to mean mug anybody that comes back. We don't need to talk about anybody that come back because of issues they had in the past. When somebody come back to the church, we ought to be shouting. We ought to be praising, not being judgmental. We ought to love them, because we should know what it feels like to be away from God and to come back into his good standards. Amen. Amen. Verse 7, chapter 17. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Verse 8, this is what I like. God gives us a testimony. He gives us an opportunity to always turn around. Verse 8, look at verse 8. And verse 8 fits our theme today of remaining in Christ, remaining rooted in Jesus. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and it shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So basically, God is saying, you have a chance. You have a chance for redemption. If you would turn your face back to me, stop worshiping these false idols. Stop living by humanistic means. Stop living your life according to what just science is saying. Stop living your life according to what your horoscope is saying. Stop living your life according to what your so-called friends are saying. Stop living your life according to what Oprah and Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz may be saying. Stop living your life according to what the man or the woman on the radio is saying. Stop living your life according to what the politicians are saying. If you turn your life and your face to God, he'll welcome you back. Then look what happens. When you make God a priority, when you make God a priority in your life, when you make him the primary, when he is the lover of your heart, the lover of your soul, when God is number one in your life, this is what happens. You become like a tree planted by the waters. When the drought comes, you still gonna produce. And we know something about droughts in Sacramento. We are experienced with droughts. And what's fascinating about the droughts, when there's a drought, they want us to cut back on the irrigation. They want us to cut back on watering our plants and watering our grass. But what God is telling us here is, even in a spiritual drought, when you are in Christ, you're still going to produce like the drought doesn't even exist. Amen. And this is why the enemy wants you to deviate from the word of God, because he knows it's through the word of God that we have this type of help, this supernatural ability to blossom in the midst of a drought, to still prosper in the midst of difficulties. When you're in the will of God, he takes care of us. He knows all of the environments. He knows all of the surroundings, and he promises that you will prosper. So God gave them the report of where they are, but yet he still loves them, and he gives them a recipe or a prescription for success. And we also have a prescription to make it through this pandemic. And number one, God wants you to remain rooted in his word. Now, in Judah at this point, the writer talks about the Ashtoreth poles, which were wooden representation of a Canaanite god. And some say it's the god of fertility. And in this area, this same god, this Ashtoreth, was known by the Phoenicians and the Syrians, and was known by other countries, ancient civilizations at this time. They worshiped the same god or goddess. And this whole idea of not doing things just because it's popular, living your life or doing things because other people are doing it. And I'm afraid that there are many Christians or people that say they're Christians who are doing things just because it's popular, just because other people are doing it, and they seem to be living a certain type of lifestyle. But the problem is, you never know what's going on behind the smile. Just because somebody seems like they're doing okay, you don't know what's going on at night. You don't know how they sleep. You don't know what's going on internally. You don't know how many psychologists they're seeing. But we know the truth. We know the master. We know that he knows what we need. We know that he sees today to tomorrow. He sees tomorrow back to today. And nothing sneaks up on God. And when God is giving us a prescription, we ought to follow it. When God is giving us a message, we need to listen. And so Judah was not listening at this point. So we see in verses 4 through 8 a juxtaposition. Jeremiah is comparing what it's going to be like when you don't listen versus what it's going to be like when you do listen. And it's our decision, just like today's lesson. You have a choice. You can listen to God and remain rooted, or not listen to God and be uprooted. And I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm not talking about that. The thing about salvation, which I like, and the Pastor Reese alluded to that some time ago, is the fact that in salvation, it's not about you keeping yourself saved. Salvation is about God keeping us. This is why Jesus says, no one can pluck you out of my hands, because salvation is about God keeping us. And there's nothing in Scripture that says you can unsave yourself. We are eternally saved, those of us that are truly saved. But what's also a possibility is some people are disillusioned in thinking they are saved, but they're really not saved because their heart is not where it needs to be. Because their core or their motive for saying they're a believer does not meet the criteria that God is looking for. They join Christ for other reasons rather than following him implicitly. Remain rooted. Remain rooted. And I am so thankful. The Lord just reminded me today about remaining or being in him. I've been in Christ. And I love to give this testimony because it's going to help somebody. The question is, as a young person, can God keep you? And the answer is yes. Somebody is saying right now, well, what about fun? You know, being a Christian, I don't know if it's going to be fun if I sell out for Jesus and make him my primary. The answer is yes. It's fun being a Christian, but the fun that we're talking about is not the same fun that the world is offering you. Yes, you're going to have fun. So I thank God that he allowed my eyes to be open at 19, 20 years old. And in my 20s, I've been in Christ. In my 30s, I've been in Christ. In my 40s, I've been in Christ. Now, in my 50s, I am going to keep following Jesus. He has shown himself to be faithful. He's shown himself to be trustworthy. And everything he said have come to pass. And can't nobody keep me like Jesus Christ. This is why I'm thankful that he showed himself, that if I remain rooted in him, and I did that, I remained rooted in my 20s. I remained rooted in my 30s. I remained rooted in my 40s. Now, in my 50s, I'm sure enough going to keep myself rooted in him. That I know for myself. I used to believe it, but now I know it. That if I remain rooted in Jesus, look what he did. In my 20s, in my 30s, the Lord blessed me tremendously. Everything I needed, he supplied. He supplied me with a job. He supplied me with a beautiful wife. He supplied me with a beautiful family. And everything I could ever want, he's given to me. And I didn't have to compromise my faith. As a young adult, I didn't have to compromise my faith. I didn't have to negotiate and do things that I shouldn't be doing. I surrounded myself with like-minded believers, and together we made it. And we're still going through, but we made it through our 20s, our 30s, our 40s, and now our 50s. We can make it. Doesn't matter what position you're in life. Perhaps you're a senior right now. You will make it. There's no time to sit down. God wants you to remain rooted in all of the words that you've been praying all these years, all the things you've been doing on behalf of Jesus. It's no time to negotiate. It's no time to start listening to the voices. It's no time to turn away from the faith. It's no time to listen to negativity. Everything we need, our God has it, and he has it in abundance. So there's this whole ideology of Christians being rooted. I shall not be moved. I don't care what science is saying. Science is saying all kinds of stuff, but I'm not going to be moved. Science is saying now we can create an idea or a model of what a man can be. I can create an idea or model of what a woman can be. This is how parenthood should be. Their definition of what parenthood should be. And I'm standing on the word. I'm remaining rooted with what God says a man should be. I'm standing rooted on what God says a woman should be. I'm standing rooted on what God says a parent should do. I'm remaining rooted in how to handle my finances. So I hear what you all are saying. I hear what the world is saying, but I'm staying rooted. Every day, the world is changing. The world is coming up with new advice. Every day, the world has its own ideologies, its own report. Every day, they're coming up with something new because, according to some of them, they're evolving. Well, I don't need to listen to people that's under change. I am listening to the person who doesn't change, the one who's constant, the one who's not going to wake up tomorrow and say, oh, oops, I didn't know this was going to happen, because God, nothing sneaks up on God. God doesn't sleep. God is constant. His nature is the same. Nothing sneaks up on our God. So because of that, because of who he is, I can rest in him. He gives us an imagery of how to remain rooted. We find this imagery, for example, in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Verse 3, that's what I want to highlight. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. It's the same imagery we find in Jeremiah 17, verses 8, where Jeremiah says, for he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. This whole ideology of being in the right position with God, being like a tree that bear fruits, not a withered tree, not an impotent tree, but a tree that bears fruit, regardless of what's going on in this world, regardless of how they change, regardless of how they're trying to recreate or redefine marriage, regardless of how they're trying to redefine what a man is or a woman is, regardless of how they're trying to attack the church, I'm going to stay rooted like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And this, metaphorically, is the water. I'm going to plant myself right here in the scriptures. I'm going to remain rooted because I know how this story ends. I know how this story started, and I know how the story is going to end. And in the end, we win. So in between, I'm not going to allow the dissenters. I'm not going to allow the false theologians. I'm not going to allow the naysayers to throw me off track about what Jesus has said. You can argue all you want about race and racism, but God has a cure. God has a plan, and it's not going to be solved by a political movement. It's not going to be solved by marching in the streets. If we want to deal with race, if we really want to deal with people and them changing for the right reasons, introduce them to Jesus. People do not change the way they need to unless their hearts have been circumcised. You can do all of the social activity you want, but if you don't change a man or woman's heart, it's not going to get to the point where we want it to get. Unless we introduce them to Jesus. And knowing how Jesus has changed my heart, and knowing how Jesus has changed other people's heart, I have evidence that he works. This is why we have to remain rooted. So I don't care where you are. You can be in your fraternity circles. You can be in your sorority circles. You can be in your Jack and Jill circle. You can be on your sports team. You can be in the entertainment field. Wherever you are, if Jesus is not the primary, then you're wasting the time that God has given you. Remain rooted. Sometimes when I go to the barbershop, I brace myself mentally and emotionally because you never know what they're going to be talking about. Everybody has something to say at a barbershop. Everybody has their own philosophy at a barbershop. So I have to make sure that when I say something, it's coming from a Bible-based perspective. I want it to be relatable, but yet I want them to know that it is God speaking through me on this issue, whatever issue we are talking about. And whatever barbershop I go in, if I go in there long enough, since I've been saved, they always know that I represent Jesus. And what I'm saying is on behalf of Christ. Amen. It's on behalf of Christ. So remain rooted. Remain rooted. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. This is why God gives us an agricultural term. This idea of being planted like a tree. This idea of yielding fruit. This idea of blossoming into what he wants us to do. Be rooted. And if we had time, I would talk about the idea of being uprooted. But since we're short on time, I'm going to end it right here, hoping that you all got something from this lesson about remaining rooted in Jesus, not listening to the noise, not listening to the so-called experts in different fields. We believe in science. God is the one that created science. But science is not a person. Science is supposed to be totally objective. The issues we have are some of the interpretation of the science. So whatever it is, while we're in this pandemic, we have to make sure that we're rooted in what Jesus has to say. Amen. May the Lord bless you. And we'll see you next week as we continue this series on a prescription for the pandemic. Amen.